Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Josh, JCL Felto for The Writer's Lens. And today's episode, I'm going to be decompressing a bit and digesting my last episode, which was my interview with Willie and Rachel Scott, the co-founders of Better Than Blended and the co-authors of the book Better Than Blended, Taking Your Family from Surviving to Thriving. So if you had a chance to check that out already, kudos to you. If not, be sure to check out the last episode or even head on over to YouTube as I did a video portion of that as well. So you'll get to see not only me in all my glory, but as well as Willie and Rachel. So that's good stuff, right? So moving on here, I wanted to just take some time to, like I said, unpack a bit some of the things that Willie and Rachel presented during the interview that I've just been kind of letting myself simmer on for the last week or so. And one of the things that they discussed right off the bat was how they were handling the pace of writing a book and creatively what that looks like. And I'm always fascinated to talk to other creatives, other people who have written books that I run into, like, how long did it take you to write your material? How long did it take you to write the book from start to finish? What was it like? You know, how do you work? And it's always interesting to get that bit of insight into someone's life to get an idea of how they work. Because sometimes when you see how a person works, it may not be a complete representation of their personality or even their character, but it does tell you a little bit about them. And Rachel and Willie both kind of gave me a little bit of insight into theirs by saying, yeah, it was like two months to write the whole thing and to have it get done from start to finish. And even kind of admitted that, hey, that's pretty fast for a lot of books, regardless of the topic that you're doing. And that means cover, publisher, the whole nine yards. And they really worked their butts off to make it happen. So again, very, very excited for those guys, what they were able to do, especially since their product is good. But even more so, just me thinking about what my pace was like when I was working to finish my books and what it's taken me to do so. And I'm a perfectionist, and to a fault, I'm a perfectionist. I don't think anybody who says they're a perfectionist ever says, oh yeah, by the way, I am a perfectionist and I love it. I love being a perfectionist. It's the greatest aspect of my personality. But I don't think many people take the time to say that. I don't think many people would admit that openly. But as a perfectionist that I can be, it sometimes can be grueling for especially my wife, who sees all the weak points of my life more so than anybody else, to see that sometimes with me it takes a little bit of time to refine and really get what I want out of something. So I take some time with it, and it depends on what it is too, because we all have our impulses about what we do in our daily life. But when it comes to writing a book, I feel like I'm just so sluggish because I want everything to be just right. I want everything to fall into place. I need the perfect hook, the perfect line, the perfect arc. I just need all those things to just come into place like a puzzle that I've been putting together for a long time. Not a 50 piece puzzle, but like a 5,000 piece puzzle. And I need it all to come together beautifully because I already have the vision. And this is what I think a lot of fellow creatives can agree with, is that many times you have this vision or idea and it's sitting off in the distance somewhere and you just are like, how can I get there as fast as possible? Because in many ways you think that's where my joy is. That's where my excitement lies, is in that far off space somewhere that I'm trying to grab a hold of. And I know that that's the way I used to think. So I would work feverishly in the beginning stages of whatever, you know, book I was working on, my Epiphanies books, for instance. Those things, whenever I had a free moment when I got home, it's like I created this separate personality that just was so hell-bent on finishing the book that if I wasn't working 8 hours a day at my job, if I had taken a day off even, or I take a vacation day, I was probably waking up and writing my book as soon as I woke up. As soon as I woke up, I was on a computer working on it, trying to make some things happen. And that's great and everything to have that sort of drive. But in hindsight, I learned that there's moderation in everything. And the more that I try to drive myself crazy by really pushing myself to my limits, I wasn't also creating a very good product. In fact, many times I spent more time going back and editing things and making sentences actually clear, because what I was doing was so rushed and it was just so just bam, bam, bam. I had to get it out. So that was one of the biggest lessons learned in the first couple books that I was writing, that the pace needed to change for me. My pace absolutely needed to change. And that affected a lot of, I would say, not so much my personality, but it was really showing a bit of who I was as an adult, as I was growing into being an adult. Because when you're an adolescent and you're going through all those changes, those hormones, as we all recall, it's never a very fun time. It can be exciting in some ways because things are changing, and you know there's this cool thing waiting for you when you get out of puberty. But when it comes to the creative process, and you have that far-reaching goal, you have this idea, this book, this concept, this business venture, whatever it is, and it's just out in the distance, and you want to grasp onto that as soon as possible, and you just want to get there as soon as possible. At least that's how I began to see that was how I viewed most of my ideas and my book ideas, is that I wanted to get a hold of that as soon as humanly possible. And if that meant jumping over things, taking shortcuts, driving myself silly by just ramming myself through a chapter or two of whatever I was writing, then I would do it. I'd absolutely do it. I'd sit down, I'd make myself do it. And I don't think there's any medals being given out for people who do that. I don't think so. And if you're going to drive yourself insane to the point where I'm not having any joy with this, then you have to take a step back. You have to have the wherewithal or the know-how to just go, look, I can't be pushing myself to these kinds of limits, because it's not healthy for me in the long run, period. And that's something I've been able to hone moving forward. Especially, I mean, I just wrote my Road to Mars book is 374 pages. It's 374 pages of words. Okay, that's a lot of pages. At least I think it is. I don't know what you guys have read recently, but 374 pages to me is it's a lot. You know, it's a lot of time. And in the old days, if I hadn't had it done in 3 to 6 months, I probably would have given up, or I would have said I'm not working efficiently enough and moved on to another idea. But giving it time and taking about 9 months to finish it, and then taking another 5 to 6 months to edit it and revise it and go through it, that was really what made me realize that I needed to have patience with my work, and I needed to also set realistic goals, that I wasn't going to just arrive at whatever it was, my idea, my book, in a week or two. You know, in one of my previous podcasts, I said, I run into a lot of people who say they want to write books, and then they say to me, well, I'm just going to take a couple weekends and just knock it out. And I just want to knock them out, because I just want to say, no, that's not going to happen. You could do that and maybe write like a 30-page thesis or 40-page book. I don't know. Again, I guess I've just been talking about different work ethics, and someone might be able to do that. But I want to shy away from that as much as possible, because I know it's not realistic. And if you're going to create a good product, you have to give it the time, and you have to give it that moment of refinement to make it really work. So another thing that Willie and Rachel brought up to me that I thought was very fascinating, ever since I started this podcast, for instance, they were talking about how helping the families that they do help with their book Better Than Blended, because they work with blended families, and they want to be able to help blended families, which includes more than just stepkids and stepbrothers and sisters, but interracial couples, foster care, things of that nature. And they said that in many ways, the things they wanted to teach people, they hadn't really gone through the journey yet. So they couldn't really, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but almost like grieve in certain ways, or maybe understand certain things that could happen that they just hadn't been through yet. And they had to go through the journey first in order to eventually turn around and go, okay, I've been through this, now I can share it with someone else. And that's a very, very key component of even this podcast for me, because if I had started doing this, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago when I just started writing, and I wanted to do a podcast on creativity and how to view the world through a writer's lens, then I probably had very little to talk about. I would have wanted to think that I was an authority on writing and reading and all that kind of stuff, but I hadn't even read one of my favorite books yet, and I hadn't written my favorite work yet. In fact, my writing back then has changed since then. So my viewpoints could have changed, and the things that I've been up to could have changed. So I don't want to be in a place where I want to skip ahead in my journey and want to say that, yeah, I'm absolutely the authority on writing trilogies, because I haven't done that yet. Okay, I haven't done that yet. I want to finish a trilogy and be done with it, which is what I'm working on now. But I can't speak to that yet because I haven't walked through it. And I thought that was very insightful, is that, again, a lot of times we want to be the authority on something. We want to be this person that has absolute control over, you know, whatever it is, the destiny that we're going to, and we want to be able to turn around and tell somebody else, this is how you do it. But unless you've been through it, you have some experience, you've listened to other people who have experience, which I'll get into later, you can't really give that insight yet. And if anybody who's trying to learn or is looking for someone that's been there and hears your message from you, they'll be able to recognize that. They might see that in your voice, like, you know, I'm not so sure if you really know what you're talking about. I thought that a lot about many of my professors in college, and I thought about that about a few high school teachers too, who, you know, we'll go without being named, but for the record, I liked a lot of my high school teachers, so I just... What's up, Mr. Schmidt? I know you're listening, maybe. So I wanted to just say that, just to get that out there, that is a reality that you have to deal with, is that going through the journey, sometimes we have to go through it in order to actually turn around and help other people get through theirs. Which brings me to my next point that I wanted to talk about, from, again, decompressing the interview with Willie and Rachel. Was one of the last questions I asked this couple was, did you guys have any mentors? Did you have anyone that you reached out to or was willing to walk alongside you as you pursued this business venture, this platform, this idea to do a book about Better Than Blended, to help blended families, you know, establish this equilibrium at the home, just all kinds of things like that. And it's funny, because when you're doing a video call, and this is of course going to be an audio, when you're doing a video call and you're talking to the other people, and I saw Rachel's face just light up, and she goes, I love this question. And she said, there was nobody that came alongside us. There was no one at all that could give us any kind of mentorship. There was nobody that we could learn from, because nobody had really done anything like this. And both of them went on to say that they really were searching for someone. They wanted somebody to help them teach us how to do this. You know, how do we properly assess this? How do we properly go through the paces of getting a book published? How do we know where to go in terms of different market spaces to find families that are going to need our help, or whatever it is? There was nobody. There was no one that came out of the blue that was able to speak in their lives and say, look, hey, I've been there before. I've been through a similar process, and this is how you do it. So there's two things to take from this that I've taken from the information they provided me. And the first one is the element of excitement in one regard, that no one's ever done this before. So your idea is maybe fresh, it's new, it's exciting, and no one's done it. So that's really cool. And again, kudos to those guys, Willie and Rachel, for taking on this the Better Than Blended platform. But then there's a second half to that. It's like a double-edged sword, is yes, it's exciting. No one's done it before. But man, since nobody's done it before, there's no blueprint, right? There's no framework for success. There's even no framework for failure, which is even more important, I think, than the framework for success. Because at least when you have a framework of failure, you can see the pitfalls ahead of time and avoid them, which is another thing that would have been invaluable for me years ago, to have invested more in editors, to invested more in having a community of people that I could rely upon, to just share my work with and say, hey, please take a look at this for me. I really need someone to give me some insight that's more than just, yeah, it's good, or yeah, it's bad, or I really don't care about your stuff, Josh. I'm not interested in reading it. In fact, why do you go by the name JCL Felt? Aren't you Josh Felt? Or some nonsense like that. But those two items there that are just so key, is that when you've been in uncharted waters, it can be very dicey. It can be extremely demoralizing at times, because you don't know what the actual road to success looks like, and you don't know what the road to eventual maybe achievement looks like. you don't really know then where your tipping point is. You don't really know when, okay, I think I've gotten to the point now where I know this thing is going to get some legs and start to run. I don't have to do all the legwork anymore. I don't have to constantly be picking up the pieces of things that are happening. And probably a good example of this is building a car engine or something, or building a car from scratch. We have blueprints out there to tell us how to build a car. Now, granted, could I sit down and build a car on my own? No, I probably couldn't. All right, but at least I could have an instruction manual sitting next to me to help me do it. Now, when it comes to new ideas and new thoughts and ideologies even that have never really been tested before, and you want to get them out there in the hands of other people, there's a really scary component to that, that people might reject it outright because, hey, I don't even know what this is. You know, I'm not really even sure what anything is going to come of this, even with your book idea or whatever. So there's this element there that you can be very afraid of because, there's the rejection, which I've talked about. There's the idea of apathy where someone won't even have a reaction to you, which I think is worse than someone saying your stuff is crap. I think apathy is even worse than someone that tells you that, yay or nay on your project that you work on. So that in and of itself is a very, very tough place to be in when you don't have a mentor, when you don't have someone that you can come alongside and say, hey, I really just need someone to kind of show me the way, which is a very fascinating component now of the social media world for creatives, because I'll tell you what, for as many people that I meet that are self-published authors or authors or people trying to make it as an author, trying to make it as a writer, there are writing coaches and there are platform building coaches. And there are people out there that are invested in making a social media network for you. So you can find them. I mean, they're out there. There's consultants that are very, very successful. I mean, Michael Hyatt is probably the most successful one that I know of. That's out there as far as making platform builders. He has his own platform university. I don't think you can get any better than that when it comes to talking about platforms. And then there are people, probably they just started out and they're trying to build their own brand of consulting and helping you build your platform work. And that's fine too. But what I'm trying to make a point of is you have to be able to weed out through all those areas of, who do I really think can be an effective mentor for me? Who is someone that maybe has walked a similar path that I can get behind and listen to those words of wisdom? Because I'm not going to have all the answers to what I need to accomplish. I'm not going to be able to perhaps come up with them all on my own. I need to have a blueprint in some way that's going to help me get to the next step. So those were all really great takeaways and just some things I wanted to just digest and kind of get off my chest here with this episode. And again, I know Willie and Rachel, I know you guys are listening too. Thanks again for the opportunity to interview you on my podcast. Look forward to having you guys back again soon. But before I go, I did want to talk about one other thing before I cut this loose here and go about our days, is I do have some more interviews lined up that will be coming on this podcast in the coming weeks. Very excited about those. And please be checking me out on YouTube also, as I'll be having videos on there. I'm going to be using that as another resource for people that don't just like listening to my voice. You'll be able to see people in real time there as well. I know there's more visual people out there, so we're going to accommodate. And last but not least, I do have some book signings that'll be coming up, so I'll be announcing those with periodically with future podcasts coming up here towards the end of the year. So things are looking really good. I appreciate everybody checking in, and I look forward to checking you out next time on The Writer's Lens. This is Josh, JCL Felto.